Yes, once again, this is the 5th of January in the year 2016, and we are on session 7 of block 3. And tonight's session, a fresh new session, is Living His Love from the Activated Heart. Now, based on the information that came through for me and the amount that I put together for this, we're going to be with this one for a couple weeks. It seems to be that important. You know, as we've evolved and moved into these higher numbers in terms of the actual process of the tools, we're beginning to see how all the stuff we've done before interrelates and integrates into these much more profound and sweeping topics that we're getting into. And especially this one with heart-centered living, because this is, in a sense, as we'll see, one of the basic tenets of the changes in these times in terms of what the whole shift was about. It was about getting us back to and being willing to live from that heart space as opposed to living in the head. So the journey from head to heart has begun. It began in 1987, and here we are in a deeper process of feeling much more connected, but also, quite possibly for many of us, a bit unstable in these times as a result of the clearings and the cleansings that are occurring. Hopefully some of the tools, if not all of the tools that we've done over the course of this course, have been useful to allow you to maintain a semblance or a full expression of center and to be in balance while things are going on around you. When you do get a chance to look at the page, when it actually begins to show up, you're going to see some very interesting pictures. There are three pictures. Two of them aren't showing up. One is the heart-shaped rock in stone. I thought that was a beautiful representation of the transition times that we're in. Hearts of stone have been a consistent element of the Piscean times and before, part of the programming model that allowed us to not have access to the most tender and powerful part of ourselves. But so be it. We've made it through that. Another picture that's not showing up is just a nice neon sign that has a heart shape and says 24 hours open, which I thought was a nice thing. And then the last one down at the bottom of the page is a Buddhist representation of one of their deities, almost looks like Tara, with a lotus flower. And once you get to see it, I think you'll enjoy that. But I'm going to start off with just a little portion of the tune here that's on the page, a song called Love Is My Work, because it all comes down to that. Gonna take my hands, gonna lift them high, gonna shake those hands in the bright blue sky. Gonna shout out loud to the whole wide earth, I'm a child of God, love is my work. Gonna take my feet, move them up and down, gonna stomp those feet all over this town. I want to shout out loud to the whole wide earth, I'm a child of God, love is my work. Now I am full of glory, I am sweet, I am divine. Spirit rumbles through me, she lifts me and I shine. Look into my eyes, you'll see the universe. Look into my heart, see the love I've been since birth. Gonna take that love, spread it high and low. Gonna give that love everywhere I go. I'm gonna shout out loud to the whole wide earth, I'm a child of God, love is my work. Love is my work. Love is my work. Love is my work. Yoo-hoo! There's a hootenanny going on here. So, love is our work, but actually love is way deeper and more beyond that. And we're actually going to see very quickly that we're just not talking about the old classic form of love. We're looking at the big love now. So we'll be looking at that. The titles of the sections in this particular session are The Heart as the Center, characteristics of heart-centered living, creating relationship with the heart, living in the heart space, the nature of unconditional love, love, intentional songs, chants, and mantras, and affirmative statements, another one called additional tools to create and maintain the activated heart, the always present resource section. So those are the topics. Let's get started here. First of all, just be aware of your feet on the floor. Be aware of your connection to the earth. And know the love and power and presence that flows up through that left leg, through that earth star chakra, is blessing you and cleansing you and seeding you with those higher vibrational frequencies of the great love substance that is the foundation of all of life and matter and energy. So know that you are in really good hands by design, and the more you allow it, accept it, and allow it, the more it serves you, and the more wide open, you become, which then really kicks life into gear. So let's see what I wrote for the first one here. These things came at different times. I was in different spaces. One of them came at 3 in the morning. You never know. You just never know. But we keep, a lot of times this opening statement you'll notice is about recognizing the shifting time and the separation between the way it was, the way it is, and the way it is becoming, and to what it is becoming. And I keep doing this because it's important to remember, especially when things get intense or tight or frustrating or if we lose our focus, it's important to remember what it is that we're pulling ourselves and walking out of, the kinds of information and programming belief systems that we had that were such a part of us for so many incarnations. The cells have never bought into it, but they have a tendency to do what they're told. And because we kept feeding information to them that kept falling in line with how things are were perpetrated to be, they have been dutiful servants, all the while holding on to the divine template that would at some point, when we consciously chose to go elsewhere, then that information would be released. Thus, the whole point of this course and the whole idea that what I'm doing is offering informational bits and bytes that will automatically trigger the release and the knowing within you and the capacity to actually work with the material information on a very personal and deep and sometimes completely unaware level. This is the beauty of it. This can also be one of the great challenges of it because it's like, well, is anything happening here? Oh, yes, plenty is happening. So here we are. Love is the primary frequency of the all that is. It is the foundational substance of vibration, energy, and form. We have not been taught this. That is a mistake. Perhaps a calculated one. Rather, we have been told that love is an emotional state that is limited, needy, disappointed, cathartic, fleeting, temporary, situational, generic, manipulative. You get the picture. As something that is earned, found, created, it is only there for the chosen few. Good grief. Why on earth would I not be told the truth about this frequency substance? If I was in control, perhaps, let's see, I messed this one up. If I was, I would be solidly in my power. Okay, if I was told the truth, I would be solidly in my power, connected with life and living in a flowing and free life, not reactive to the forms of the aligned moments that were delivered to my awareness. Sorry, I stumbled through that, which is perfect because that's kind of how we've done it up till now. There's the answer. It's too powerful and certainly less controllable. The heart has been likened to an amorphous substance like soul, intuition, and interconnectedness. Again, characteristics that unify rather than separate. But loneliness creates neediness, which births dependence and accepting less than what we are bequeathed by birth. So this is what most of humanity has been sold up until now. Crossing the threshold of 2012 gave birth to a new and much more accurate frequency and awareness that defines the now and the future. So let's start there. I will go back in there and I will rework that. So here I go to the heart as the center. So, as I speak to this, bring your awareness to that place in the center, and I'm going to ask you to bring it to two separate places. One is right at what you consider to be the heart chakra, which would be just at the center of the sternum, at the lower center, really like just above the nipple line. So bring your awareness to there, and at the same time, almost maybe a hand's width above that, you're going to also be in access to the higher heart chakra. So we're really addressing both of these, as both have purpose and substance that is useful in the great opening. So here's some information. To get to the heart of the matter is to get to the visceral substance that breathes life into the situation. The heart chakra is the middle chakra of the in-body seven. The heart pumps the fluid of life through us. The heart is the seat of the soul. It is the doorway, the portal to the multidimensional worlds. It is the playground of the higher self and the tender, loving arms that cradle the precious inner child. It is the nerve center that emanates an electromagnetic field far beyond what the brain and the solar plexus can produce. The heart is the new root chakra, the foundational source for our own life expression, the place from which we are being groomed to live unfettered. Well, that's a good opening statement there. Let's see what else is up. The frequency of the love is so vital and potent that it requires two separate chakras to work the nuances and specifics of the energy, the heart and the high heart. The traditional heart chakra at the lower center of the sternum is in the key of F and governs the thalamus gland, as well as expresses love, compassion, empathy, childlike joy, gratitude, and sadness. The higher heart chakra is at the upper part of the sternum, just below the intersection point of the clavicle and sternum. It is vibrationally attuned to the F-sharp pitch and is a reflection of agape, or universal oneness, love. That is the growing force of unification and oneness in these remarkable times. Every time the voice is used, the heart chakras vibrate. You can feel it with your hand on the sternum. The nature of the spoken word can either nurture or compromise the frequency of these chakras separately. Ah, heart chakra. Higher heart chakra there. Just feel those vibrations and let those things resonate. There they are. At the sinoatrial point located at 11 o'clock on the top of the physical heart, the dimensional portal accessed by shamans resides. It is considered the entry point of the soul. The heart is the center focus of the pranic breathing process, which pulls the earth frequency up and the cosmic frequency down to mix and unite for the purpose of energetic balance. One can ride this point via focus to interconnect the chakras above and below to align a compromised energetic system. This will translate to an altered state identifiable by the remarkable clarity and feeling of being in center that accompanies the aware action. We have played with both of these, and we probably will do some of that next week. As we went to that point on the heart, the sinoatrial point where the pulse begins, and viewing it as the entry point of the shamanic travel and the capacity to do the multidimensional dance, we realize the capacity to ride that wave and to ride that energy to a place of greater awareness and more rich experience. And at some point along the line, we have run some particular meditations where we took the heart point and ran it straight up through the throat chakra up into the the pituitary gland, into the chambers of that, and then through the back of the head into the throat, you had energies that came across, and you began to create the unification of the heart and the vision and the amplification of the spoken word through the and the intentional spoken word through the throat chakra. Beautiful combinations of energy. We did the pranic tube, where we ran the energy down from the cosmos straight through the earth's, the soul star chakra, in through the crown to the heart itself, where it dispersed its energy of the cosmic force. Alternatingly, we brought it up through the perineum from the earth to the heart, and we began to mix the both of those. And at the end of that particular visualization, guided visualization, meditation, empowerment, we went ahead and breathed from both sides at the same time, amplifying and mixing and integrating those two energies to put us at the center of that frequency. And from that, we expanded outward to create not only a place of greater awareness, greater capacity, but also greater safety. We've been preparing for this particular session for quite some time. Little bits come and go that are useful in this particular session, all designed to bring our attention and focus to the one place that truthfully needs it the most, because of the level of wounding that most have endured, but also because it is the seat of our expanding power. So I was drawn to the groundbreaking process called heart math, which I've mentioned before, reveals some striking elements of this heart intelligence. The idea of heart math, well, let me just give these here, and then we'll be playing with that a bit. Maybe a bit tonight, but mostly next week. Some of the elements about that and the heart intelligence that has come forth through that work by Doc Childre in the Heart Math Institute up in Santa Cruz, California. New scientific discoveries are giving us a radically new and different view of the role of the heart in the human system, it says. It also says information sent from the heart to the brain can have profound effects on our higher brain centers. Our emotional states are reflected in our heart rhythms, as seen in heart rate variability measurements. Our heart rhythms affect the brain's ability to process information, make decisions, solve problems, and experience and express creativity. And because the heart is the strongest biological oscillator in the human system, the rest of the body's systems are pulled into entrainment with the heart's rhythms. And when subjects in research studies achieve entrainment of the brain with the heart, they reported heightened intuitive clarity and a greater sense of well-being. Positive feelings such as appreciation create increased order and balance in the autonomic nervous system, resulting in enhanced immunity, improved hormonal balance, and more efficient brain function. By intentionally altering our emotional state through heart-focused techniques such as freeze frame, we modify input from the heart to the brain. The changed information flow from the heart to the brain can facilitate higher brain function. And when we get the head in sync with the heart, the power of both works for us, and we can make changes that we know we ought to make. And finally, it says the so-called lower heart governs feelings that are colored by attachments and conditions placed on them by the mind. So just get a grasp at this point of, one, the capacity of the heart and the revealing capacity, as science is beginning to see that the fields and the energies that are existing within that framework are quite profound, eclipsing that of the head itself. Now, the thing is, as we're going to see more in depth here as we get into the next section, it is about that journey from the head to the heart. The head has been the king, the queen, the head honcho, has been the one that is the overseer and the place to be lived from. And most people view the world from this ball on top of their neck and see and experience through that filter system as opposed to being fully connected to the body. Too many people use the head to run away from the viscera of life, the woundings that have been impacting us and are energetically held, as we've established so many times on this journey thus far. Well, those days are over, not necessarily by choice. As we are being force-fed these new energies, in a sense, we are being required to make the changes necessary. And some are kicking and screaming, and some are simply leaving the planet and say, I can't take it. I'm going to come back again when it's all done. So be it. And then there are those like you and me and others of similar ilk who are willing to stand in the discomfort in the name of the great clarity that is not only promised, but actually showing up not only on the horizon, but inside of ourselves as well, in leaps and bounds. You have to admit that the times are different. You have to admit that you feel differently in these times. You have to admit that the world and all of it is a better place these days because of your place of center that you've discovering and the place of center that you have found to be much more accurate than the misinformation that misdirected you for so long. So be it. Those days are over. We are on the cusp, and we're in that place where we're dancing back and forth between what was, what is, and what is becoming. And as the liaison between those two states, we have the beautiful and enviable task of walking the tightrope, knowing that falling on either side is certainly not a death that will result in death, but it really will result in greater clarity, because there are no wrong moves here. Never have been. Back to the words. Heart-centered focus is a stress reducer, as a wash of aligned vibration literally neutralizes the chemical that's easy for me to say, the chemical contributors to the heightened condition taxing the entire system. Breathing with heart as the focus can do wonders in calming the being enough to open up the inner wisdom that rides the chi and pranic life force that infiltrates the inhalation. Consciousness is the key in bringing about the change. Let me repeat that. Consciousness is the key to bringing about the change. That's why the information is coming through to the mind first. You have to be a willing participant in this process. Otherwise, it serves you as it sees fit, which can be fine in the ultimate picture. But boy, what a ride. That's like Toad's Wild Ride at Disneyland. You don't know what's going to be popping out from here and there. Or you can immerse yourself in the knowing and the understanding and the application of these ideas and trust them to have validity and ride that wave, which is really what we're doing. But it's a conscious process. It's not something that's going to show up on the door as much as it is something that you're going to see and to choose, and then to integrate and to become. Certainly there are activities of the autonomic nervous system at work here, but the conscious connection allows a directing of energies and the unification of the seen and the unseen, the felt and the unfelt. The focus and the breath combine to bring about the state of coherence, which is the balance between head and heart. In this state, one has access to and the willingness to act in the flow of one's true vibration. In other words, life smooths out. I mean, that's worth the price of admission. That's worth the work that we're doing. I think at the very least, if I can talk for myself right now, and I am because I'm the only one here in the house, is that things are smoother. And those elements that used to frighten me, that used to attack me in random ways, don't have power over me anymore. Even the very things that I was unwilling to surrender to, was holding on dearly, clinging to the assurance that they would not ever happen. Many of them have happened, and here I am, feeling lighter, better, clearer, more invested in life and more connected with life. I don't know. But I do know what I know, and I know what I feel, and I know how things are showing up. The very fact that we're being blessed here with probably 8 or 9 days of intermittent rains is just such a gift. And I have just been sitting out in the rain. It's not a heavy rain yet, but I've been out there making that connection and just being washed away, having all of that resistance, all of that unawareness, all of those things just washing away. That is a gift from the cosmos. And it opens my heart. And the more open I become, the more that gift begins to reveal itself to me as oh so much more. Back to the reading. The heart center is in close association with the lungs for obvious reasons and more. As the interface between the inner and the outer, the lungs collect the raw pranic life force and dispense it into the fluid bloodstream, which, when circulated by the pumping and beating heart, floods the cells and tissues with the necessary sustenance to be fully in the moment. The lungs gather also the toxic residue of the moments of living in the form of the carbon dioxide that is released on the exhalation. The lungs hold also the energetic debris of loss, accessed through the profound process of crying. Countless wounded souls have drowned in their uncried tears at the end of a particularly difficult and mostly unconscious life. When you begin to see the manifestation of conditions, noting their location, noting their symptomologies, you begin to see how the repressing of energies, the holding on to the woundings of life are so clear in how they show up, as if it is a beacon that says, here is the way to find healing. Interesting and powerful stuff. So we were zooming into this area of the heart that includes the lungs and all of the tissue that is in there. The rib cage, it's almost like a prison. It's almost like the wall that surrounds this precious place. And it can be treated as such, or it can be something that is strictly a place like window blinds that allows you to get some piece of a different energy at times. I've just gone through a period that seems to be diminishing here where I tweaked a rib, and boy, that was no fun. I have not slept on my right side for probably almost a month now. I miss it. And yet it brought my awareness to an area right around the liver, right around the side there, that just kept bringing some healing vibration to it. And I got to integrate how the body is so entrained with itself and so integrated, and how any kind of movement is balanced in the core. Things like driving, I had no idea that the ribs were really involved because I'd never paid attention. That was one of the hardest things I had to do, is to drive the car, because I was constantly having to keep upright as the road bounced and turned and all of those things occurred that are a natural part of the driving process. I was having to find ways to reduce that. And this is what awareness brings, and it's the beauty of it. You know, a lot of times, and sure, I've done the Advil route. It's got to be too much of a distraction, and because of that, I started to give it energy that was really unnecessary in terms of supporting the healing process. So popping a little thing here and there helped me to redirect my focus. But I felt it. I really felt and looked and listened to what the body was saying. I saw its location, and I saw what it was saying to the heart and what it was inviting the heart to do and the lungs. And more than once, call it from the pain or the discomfort, I cried. I wasn't a little baby or a little boy. I was just one who was releasing some debris. And if indeed a torn ligament or a cracked rib or a sprain or whatever it is was necessary for the release of whatever that was, so be it. I now know there are other ways. I mean, I've known all along. There are the gifts of energy that keep coming. The more I choose to live in the frequency of the heart, the more is revealed to me because it is clearing me out. So back to this, a heart math process called freeze frame is a useful technique to apply to a stress-filled moment. And here's how it works, and you're invited to work with it on your own. It says recognize, first thing, is the stressful feeling, and then freeze frame it. Take a time out. It says make a sincere effort to shift your focus away from the racing mind or disturbing emotions to the area around your heart. Pretend you're breathing through your heart to help focus your energy in the area. Keep your focus there for 10 seconds or more. So when you recognize, let's just rephrase this, when you recognize that stress is going on, the invitation of this process is to freeze frame. And the freeze frame invites us to step out of the head and bring your total focus to the heart area because this is where information will reveal itself. This is where the body can talk to us fluidly. This is where the filters of the mind are non-existent. And this is where we can jump into the oneness soup and begin to integrate with many forms of clarity, healing, guidance, etc. It's not necessarily going to happen in the mind. So by bringing your attention to this area and breathing as if it was coming through the heart itself is a powerful process that begins to help you change your focus. The third thing it says is recall a positive, fun feeling or a time you've had in life and try to re-experience it. You call upon an element that is contradictory, in a sense, energetically and mentally to the event that has occurred that has caused you stress. And you seek out something in the viscera and the tunnels of the mind and in those dark places, dark only because they're not well lit, of memories that were pleasant. And you replace the experience with those. It says, now using your intuition, common sense, and sincerity, ask your heart, what would be a more efficient response to this situation, one that would minimize future stress? And then you wait for your heart to give you some guidance. Worst that happens is you hear nothing, but your focus has been in a different area and your mind hasn't raced down the road with the what-ifs. And if you hear nothing, ask again. You're developing a new language here. The minute you turn inward, you begin to start a communication process that needs to be worked with. The lines need to be connected. And the capacity to hear and what to listen for and discern what to listen for and to get the nuances and the whisperings that come takes repeated effort. Consciously. And finally, in this process called freeze frame, it says, listen to what your heart says in answer to your question. It's an effective way to put your reactive mind and emotions in check and an in-house source of common sense solutions. You will find that heart-centered solutions are pretty cut and dry. I mean, they just work. They work. They're not convoluted. They're not requiring any extra effort from external sources or anything like that. We are in the capacity to do that which is needed to be done to deal with that which is before us. We always have been. Let the heart be the guide and let the mind go ahead and be the willing participant that finds the screwdriver and goes and gets the other things that are necessary to make the experience successful. And we move on. The Course in Miracles, a channeled work derived from Master Teacher Jesus, basically says that there is only love or fear, and that everything is a call for love. With this in mind, one can respond to the forms of living moments with another or self, and quickly discern which of the two, love or fear, is at play. One can also realize that the erratic behaviors and choices of self and another is really a beacon for being soothed by the higher vibration of love. Applying this strategy often will reestablish new neural pathways that will alter the patterns of thinking and behavior to attract and manifest a more nurturing, connected reality experience. If it's either love or fear, it's either love or fear. I mean, those are your options, according to the Course in Miracles. So if I'm not in love, then I'm in fear. If I'm in fear, then I'm going to use the old mantra of fear fades when facts are faced, and I go and look for information that helps me get clearer on what's really going on. Sure, there are points of life where fear is legitimate. Too often, it is something that is force-fed to us, and we buy into it, that it's so much of it that is not even ours. So, is it love or fear? And then you recognize in interactions with one another that everything is a call for love. And so the erratic behavior of the being across from you, from your mate, from your partner, from your child, from your friend, from a random stranger, is in some ways, well, according to this, in all ways, a call for love. So how would you respond in a frequency of love? This is what heart-centered living does. It takes us out of our patterned responses. It puts us in a place where we are in center and can respond from the highest frequency of us, knowing full well that we have the capacity to offer a vibration to this being across from us to assist them in realigning themselves back to a place of center for themselves, hopefully processing some difficulty and some stuck energies at the same time. In other words, raising their vibration. This is not our responsibility. It is our opportunity. That's all. Just because you have information doesn't mean you need to go out and tell everybody about it. The greatest thing that any of us can do, including myself, is to walk our talk. And mostly walk our inner talk. Walk the things that we learn and believe in and start working with those. And begin to pay attention to how life changes. We move on. Grief is a heart-centered process that involves a direct communication with the root, sacral, solar plexus, heart, and throat chakras. It is an evolving process that seeks out the interconnections triggered by the event to assist in the global cleansing of energetic debris. What? That was a big sentence. Grief is one of the greatest gifts. Unfortunately, it happens too often as a result of loss, and oftentimes as a result of significant loss. But what it does, like it sends a sequential trigger through the chakras and invites them to do a data dump, an energetic data dump, and then it is released into the collective, and then it comes out, quite honestly, in the beautiful substance of tears. When it's at the solar plexus, it's about the anger and the indignation of the event and the resistance again at the criticism, the judgment that comes, that gets cleared. The wounds of life in the second chakra, the connections we have in relationship, those get cleared, especially if it involves another being. Our loss of familiarity and our sense of uncertain foundation stirs the root chakra, and it allows us to seek the earth more profoundly and more consciously to find our substance again. And of course, the heart is really just shaking off the debris, shaking off the sense of loss. And the sadness is the perfect vehicle to give the great tool of crying the impetus to move forward. The throat is a vehicle that translates all of that energy into vibration and force and release. One cannot grieve silently. If they do, all they're doing is recycling the wounding. When a culture who is considered uncivilized uses a group of their own people to do the wailing and the writhing and the crying for the whole culture itself when a loss is experienced, it is a powerful agreement of the necessity of processing that information. The very sound of that happening, which is heard by everyone in the village, is enough to trigger the personal release. The body design when it, okay, the body design is about balance and a state of cleanliness, and thusly, it will use any opportunity to fulfill its task. In a culture and world frightened of emotion, grieving is not often allowed to progress in its unique dance. As a result, more is stored for future release or physical damage. The heart center works energetically to orchestrate the release of the past, and in this capacity serves us in profound ways. Letting the heart do the clearing diverts us from mentalizing and playing the why and what if games, energetic eddies that serve no purpose except to suffer and beat oneself up. And unfortunately, many are invested in that very process of suffering and beating oneself up. With all due respect, some of the great programs and even the great religions that have supported many have basic tenets that are based upon some of these elements of keeping things in place. I'm sorry, but for the Buddhist to claim that life is suffering, to me, is short-sighted. Life includes suffering, but again, suffering comes down to a point of my interpretation of an event. And what is suffering to you may not be suffering to me. So that one is worthy of debate. And the very fact that these beautiful 12-step programs that are creating a template for people to have a focus in order to begin to process the woundings from within, the challenge for me is that it keeps claiming that one is at a static state. That I am always an alcoholic, or whatever the particular addiction is. I'm sorry, I don't agree with that. I believe it's energetic, and I believe the cleaner and clearer we get through the techniques and beyond, of the things that we've talked about are ways that remove that pattern from us. They just cause it to disintegrate and fall apart, which then gives us new opportunity to be something completely different. In balance and in center. The movement into heart-centered living as set in motion in 1987 at the celestial event of the Harmonic Convergence is a cosmic call to return home. The heart is more equipped to oversee the revolution from limited thinking and living. For from this space, one has direct access to the cosmic panorama, the one tucked away in our design, waiting for the light to shine upon it to give permission once again to live the life we each deserve. The impact of the cosmic interventions is a directive to be and live differently, not cowering in the shadows of a life of victimhood, helpless in the waves of life being done to me, but rather riding the crest of the wave of awakening to the true remembering of the I am that I am expressing as me. No one can escape these times nor the energy behind them. This is cosmic love in its full force, casting aside the clinging tendency for humans to be scared and overwhelmed. This is not who we are, nor has it ever truly been what we are. The design is being re-revealed. And everyone is being pushed to face the shadow of themselves. And the most profound and clear and safe place, safest place we can do this in, is living in the heart. Because that's what it's designed for. And not only that, it's even growing beyond the original design. There have been improvements, if you will, by the cosmos to make it even oh so much more. It is a prime loving act of a multiverse that knows who we each are. Enough of the forgetting game. These are grand and glorious times, the great awakening. You simply cannot turn away any longer. The heart is a portal to the beloved. Accepting the reaching hand, accept the reaching hand and step towards you. And I was up in a camp with a bunch of Unitines. These are kids at the early teens. We had an experience there based on the hero's journey, and there was a reference to the waiting hand, the reaching hand. So a song came out and it says, I see the waiting hand. I take the waiting hand. I take the first step. And I am on my way. The universe has sent an invitation, and I say, I accept. I accept. I'm on my way. How? I'm on my way. How? I'm on my way. I'm on my way. Every hero starts a journey by saying, yes, I can. I'm on my way. I'm on my way. I see the waiting hand. I take the waiting hand. Yes. It works. All of us are having these reaching outs to us. Do you see them? Do you accept? Do you take that hand in great trust? Do you trust that even though when the computer that you've been working with right now stopped responding and is not allowing you to go to the next page, what do? Do you take that waiting hand, or that reaching hand? Absolutely I do. And I see what's on the other side of that. And I wait patiently while it reveals itself again and stops its, there you are, hi. All right. Let's go to, okay, let me get back to heart is center characteristics, creating a relationship, living in the heart space. Let's go to creating relationship with the heart. That's the land I want to go to next. So give me one moment, and apologies for the technology that is doing its own dance in this new year. Okay. To create relationship with the heart is to first recognize that it is there, far beyond the physical manifestation of keeping your vehicle alive. To accept it as the center of your being is to invite in and be open and receptive to all the magnificence it has to offer. You must open the door in a profound and prophetic, and I didn't say pathetic, I said prophetic, leap of faith that signals that the dance has begun and you are willing to return home to your true self. This will quickly become the gift that keeps on giving. Having been programmed and taught to view and experience the world from the perspective of the head creates temporary but significant roadblocks to living in the heart-centered life. It is not possible but requires awareness, action, and follow-up to solidify the transition. I think I meant to say it is not impossible. That would change everything. It is not impossible, but requires awareness, action, and follow-up to solidify the transition. Author Michael Hetherington offers these useful comparisons taken from his book, Moving from the Head to the Heart. And I'm just stealing it from him. I put it in here and made claim and said, this is yours, Michael, but I'm going to use it right now. Here are some things in comparison of head to heart, and I think they're relevant. The head takes time. The heart is quick, fast, and spontaneous. Number two, the head's main reference point is past experience and future expectation. The heart has no reference point. It lives in the now, and it is spontaneous. The head formalizes expectations of particular outcomes. The heart has no expectations. It pays attention to the unfolding of the next breath and moment and then makes adjustments to follow the path. Number four, the head is time-bound and linear. The heart is timeless and nonlinear. Number five, the head is primarily selfish and seeks things that are good for me. The heart is selfless and only works on things that will benefit all beings. Now, do know that in the process of benefiting all beings, that I am served. Because of the reciprocal relationship and the nature of that kind of giving and receiving vibration, we are profoundly impacted by our own actions and decision to serve the greater good. Number six, using the head usually generates some sense of strain, stress, or effort. Using the heart requires no strain and no effort and often generates energy. You choose. Number seven, moving from the head often brings up a sense of restraint and doubt through thoughts like, what will others think of me? Or is my behavior acceptable? Moving from the heart does not bring up any sense of restraint or doubt because you do not care what others think and know it on the deepest level to be true. That's a relief. Number eight, moving from the head often brings up a sense of uncertainty and therefore weakness. The heart brings up a sense of power and confidence. The head uses logical and cognitive processing to find meaning. The heart uses nothing by sense and knowing and is not logical. The heart uses nothing by sense and knowing and is not logical. It's Captain Kirk versus Dr. Spock. Number 10, the head relies heavily on verbal communication, whereas the heart utilizes nonverbal communication more. It's an inner process, a witnessing of energy. Number 11, the head is mesmerized and obsessed by forms and appearances, whereas the heart sees through all appearance to see the essence. Number 12, the head person sees the world as full of problems, concerns, and troubles. The heart person sees the world as perfect, complete, and exquisitely beautiful. The head person tends to see the world as made of separate entities, and therefore the self is independent. The heart person sees no entity as separate, and therefore sees the self as not independent, but as a part of the whole. The head is always carrying uncertainty and doubt, which is therefore a weakness. The heart does not doubt, and this generates only confidence and inner power. The head comes to decisions and conclusions from the process of reason and cognitive processing. The heart's decisions and conclusions come from nowhere. Well, they are actually from a source, but he didn't go into that. Head person often has a tight chest and probably a tight ass. The heart person's chest is soft and open, receptive to life, engaging. Head person often has a tight chest. Head person often has a little body awareness and lack of body sensation. Heart person has a finely acute sense of body awareness and bodily sensation. And in the early days can be perceived as anxiety or something wrong with one. I remember those days. Head person is often predictable as behavior relies on past behavior and thinking patterns. The heart person often surprises oneself because the heart creates new behaviors from the space of spontaneity. The head person often talks too much and does not do enough. Heart person does not tend to talk so much, but really does a lot. Head person is generally not a good listener. Heart person is a great listener and really hears everything on many levels. Head person, often in a state of urgency, running from this to that and back again. Heart person is more mellow and free-flowing, taking things as they come. Head person doesn't trust life and instead seeks to control it. Heart person trusts life fully and allows it to unfold naturally. Head person can often lack discipline, patience, and focus. Heart person is patient, persistent, dedicated, and self-disciplined. The heart person is always grasping for and seeking security and certainty in the outside world. Heart person understands that life is changing and nothing is certain. The head person can easily come to depend on others for identifying sense of self. The heart person just does not depend on others, yet is grateful for any assistance. The head person focuses on what one can do in the world. The heart person is more focused on how to be in the world. And finally, a head person's energy and focus is directed largely outside into the outer world, whereas the heart person focuses mostly on the energy, most of their energy inwards to the inner world. Now, I can see through this that there are certain absolutes being stated. It really is not an either or, and too often the place of balance is a blending of the two. I'm not saying that one is better than the other. I say I feel differently, and there are times when being in the head is exactly what I need, like figuring out what's going on with this program. And at other times, it's the heart that needs to open to allow me to embrace the great vibration that is being brought up in this process. Because indeed, if nothing happens by accident, I want to be a full participant in what's there so I can glean what is being bequeathed upon my awareness. So just take these, and the point of including this is to begin to see some actual specifics of how we can see that we are living more from the heart space. To me, again, the place of balance is to pull from both places and lean, obviously, in this session, more towards being in the heart space and then calling upon the head to bring balance as needed. It's almost like treating like one of the shadow selves, where we find these characteristics and qualities that begin to interfere with our own flow, and rather than assassinate them or, you know, disregard them or, you know, push them away, we find the uses for their particular talent. And so we set them aside until we need that particular skill and then call them forth. And that's a beautiful way to begin to integrate all these parts of ourselves. So now we go back to characteristics of heart-centered living. Do we? Now I want to go to the nature of unconditional love. This was a very interesting drop-in. Let's go to this unconditional love, because as New Agers, we're all about unconditional love. In other words, being able to see someone or witness someone just for who they are and not be attached to it, any of the forms, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm not sure how many New Agers are actually doing that, but we certainly could talk about it, and we're moving in that direction. But there are some elements that were brought to my attention that may help to spend more time in it. The vibration of love is pure, and the frequency is most high as it forms the substance of all creation, infusing each element with the I Am source that unifies each unique expression into the one. Our design knows this. The cells and the molecular structure reflect the truth that permeates the multidimensional cosmos. The template is within at all times, for all time. There is no escaping this absolute, except the agreed-upon conventions of this earthly plane are such that a forgetting takes place upon entering. The collective agreement fused through repetition and lower vibration have resulted in the illusion that love is a finite energy in motion that is selective, limited, controllable, and doled out to the deserving. Love has become a neediness that robs us of our power and convinces us to give up to get some. This lower frequency love is a wash that pushes away the deeper knowing of the true love force. And so we dance in relationships with the hope of filling the holes of love lost and the wounds of injustices perpetrated upon us in the name of a diminished love currency. This kind of mistreatment to self and others leaves depletion and hopelessness in its wake, and love becomes the vehicle that masks the beauty of life. Every interaction becomes conditional, giving to get, hoarding because there is such scarcity, not enough to go around, on and on. It is all of this past programming and experience that holds the cap on the reclamation of the holiness of the true frequency. But the New Age, in its pie-in-the-sky claims of an evolving, better, and more connected life, has opened the door to the real love that is our makeup. The dream of unconditional love has risen in these new frequencies and has been affirmed and set up as desirable. Many act like they are being so. But the true flow of that holy substance is blocked by the energetic wounds of living carried through this incarnation and dragged along from countless others. As long as the energetic debris lines the hallways of the meridian and energetic pathways, then unconditional love is but a shadow of its truth. To completely accept another despite their ways of being and their treatment of us is not in the doable range of most people. Only when the debris has been released and cleansed can one even begin to free the flow of the divine river of love, that's capital L, to nourish the cells and tissues and systems and bodies of each. Freeing that frequency of love is an inside job at first. Clearing the muck that diminishes our own worth in our own eyes reveals a yearning and consuming desire to take good care of oneself. This is the catalyst for the reemergence of the divine template that infuses the necessary sense of safety and trust and gratitude that allows one to stand in the anything that comes and see only beauty. Here is the threshold of unconditional love. This is a very pivotal paragraph here. I'm going to read it again. Freeing that frequency of love is an inside job at first. Clearing the muck that diminishes our own worth in our own eyes reveals a yearning and consuming desire to take good care of oneself. Do you see that one thing leads to the next? And at the point when self-care becomes so important to you, you are at the doorway. This is the catalyst for the reemergence of the divine template that infuses the necessary sense of safety. Are you hearing that when the template is revealed and begins to act, it creates and infuses the necessary sense of safety and trust and gratitude that then allows us to enter the world of unconditionally loving another. It is a revelation rising out of the release of the energetic misinformation and abuse that has moved through the moments of living. We become capable of loving others through an open heart and eyes that see only the magnificence, despite what appears to be. Even though the capacity to be unconditionally loving is built into the design, we each must make the journey of reawakening that rises out of the original forgetting and shakes off the debris like a dog coming out of the pond. When you are well-fed and sustained, self-nurturing and caring, providing all that is necessary to live in alignment, then you are capable of true unconditional love, and you will have, in a large sense, earned your wings. At which point the design ignites the greater knowing and magnetizes the experience and souls. Oh, no. Hold on here. Oh. The published part got cut off, so I'm going back to the old program again, which is there waiting for me. At which point the design ignites the greater knowing and magnetizes the experience and souls necessary to hone and allow the capacity to flourish. Life becomes sweet and peace-filled because you are no longer dependent on the actions of another. In this self-sustaining energy, you become a vehicle of beauty, a true way-shower to all who cross your path. Then, the more you live in this frequency, the more the frequency expands. Love feeds itself exponentially, and you spiral into the flow of the I am that I am in full expression. Beautiful, isn't it? You simply must claim this capacity now by choosing to initiate the clearing. Call upon the divine inner design to activate even as you consciously choose clearing and cleansing over control, blame, and fear. The request will be granted, and the light will serve the nowness of you without fail. Trust me. Trust life. Trust yourself. Can you understand the sequence that is being put forth here? To hold the eye on the prize of unconditional loving is beautiful. And to show up in that in any capacity with that as your intent is a beautiful thing that can have profound results on all involved. And yet to make it, in a sense, quote-unquote, legitimate, you got to be clear and clean as much as possible. Because the clearer and clean you are, then it allows the actual flow of that pure love force to then do its work on you as well as anyone you come into contact with. And from that place of safety and balance, you are able to witness the magnificence of another, even as they do their dance, that from the outside looks like a very bad thing. This is the frontier of living in the heart. This is the invitation to be a person of substance, a person who can stand in the forms of life and just dig it, fully participating, not creating separation, but engaging completely, because you know beyond a shadow of any kind of doubt that all is well and will continue to be well no matter what it looks like. For indeed, nothing can harm the truth of your being. Ever. Ever. All right, so let's look at the characteristics of heart-centered living. What you can see tonight is just chock full of information. And so when you get this, and I am going to be up burning the oil tonight to get this thing worked out so that you can get this stuff and start working with it. And we'll be playing with a whole lot of this stuff, because in the section that I have on the techniques, there are just a bunch of beautiful guided journeys and meditations. And so next week may be chock full of me talking in a very slow, measured capacity as you relax and feel yourself moving into the place of stillness. Not true. We'll do them in different ways. But at any rate, here are some qualities of open-hearted beingness. And I got this from Rashmi. Oh, God, that print is so small. Kehilnani. Rashmi Kehilnani. From The Divine Mother Speaks, a channeled book from Mother Mary. And the qualities of open-hearted beingness, in other words, heart-centered living, is just a list. Non-judgment, simplicity, courage, vulnerability, allowance and acceptance, giving and sharing, silence and peace, beauty and harmony, detachment, praise and gratitude, sense of humor and innocence, serving all of life in service, whatever makes your heart sing, inspiration and creativity, being here now, unity consciousness, embracement, highest good of all concern, unconditional love, inspiration and creativity, and responsibility. These are elements that when you practice them, whether you practice them through your own inner awareness and your decision of how to put them forth, or you follow the great guidelines that exist all over my Kindle resource, is really up to you. But to become aware of these elements is to be on the fringe of making a different choice that then leads you home to heart-centered living. It's not easy to be non-judgmental. We have been taught to do that for so long. And the sadness is that the greatest judgment we hold is for ourselves. That is the old wounding, which is the invitation to clear. Because the unconditional loving capacity that we just talked about is primarily a self-application. It's primarily for use upon self. Because once again, when you reach that state of alignment within, you can stand in the tornadoes. You can stand in the presence of any force and witness it back to wholeness through strictly your energy field and the truth in your eyes and the emanation of the frequency and the fields coming from your oh-so-large heart chakra. So we could look at each one of these things, but spend some time when you get access to this with each of these words and see how it might be fitting already in your life. And how might you bring it more to your moments of living? How can you be more courageous in the choices that you make? How can you bypass the hesitance the hesitations that sometimes are precursors to you taking a step. In what ways are you vulnerable, and in what ways are you still protecting yourself? And is that necessary anymore? Look at each of these beautiful topics here. See what happens. We move on to another resource that I gathered. Oh, actually, this is what I put in. Okay. Heart-centered open space can be characterized as follows. Here we go. One is, and the reason I'm putting this out is because these are things that you can use as measurements to show you if you're in that frequency or not. And it's not to beat yourself up with, but it's just to go ahead and redirect your energies to be more in that alignment. And if so, being in that alignment, you can choose whether you want to be there or not. Okay, one is open to life and willing to consciously respond to the sacred moments that manifest within and without. This is the great foundation of heart-centered living, is that you're open to life and that you choose to consciously respond to the sacred moments, because they all are. Another element is that one is willing to acknowledge and listen to and act upon intuitive guidance, no matter how it contradicts the mind-based perspectives. The more this is done, the less hesitation there is to be spontaneous in living, knowing that your higher self especially and all the aligned guides and teachers are here to support you in being the love vibration that you are. The love vibration that you are. Connected with the breath, one is connected with the breath and the subtle responses of focus techniques that will regulate the way you respond to life and magnetize your highest good. Your breath, I mean, is it any secret or reason that the lungs and the heart and that whole process of breathing and all of this power is contained within this cage in the chest? One is connected with the breath, I just said that. One is comfortable with the forms of life as they flow into your presence and awareness, trusting that no thing is by accident and that each form and experience has a multidimensional meaning that has arrived at just the right and perfect time. There's no more of... I'm remembering, was it Nancy Kerrigan and that tragic thing that occurred in that sort of soap opera-like drama in the Olympics when the other gal put a hit on her and had the guy whack her with a pipe in the knee. And she said, "Why me? Why me?" How many times have you felt that? How many times have I used those very same words, feeling steamrolled and overwhelmed by the substance and the forms that came my way? Being completely unwilling to take any responsibility for the manifestation of that particular form, mostly because I was unaware that I had anything to do with it. This is called being a victim of life. And this is not an option in your heart-centered space. It's simply not true. Moving on, one is cognizant of the need to monitor the inner world, tending the nuances of the energetic dance that accompanies experience. Your mind is split all the time now. Your awareness is completely a body-centered awareness with the mind as a little cherry on top there that begins to integrate that into the whole. You begin to notice from walking into a room with the heart space open and coming from the place of witnessing through the heart, you pick up the energy fields and you go immediately to... You recognize who is in need of energetic support and where you can send your vibrational intention or even actually physically engage. You're able to discern how the moments move, and then you have the beautiful opportunity to act upon it or not. So in this space, one is cognizant. Did I do that? Yes. One is communicative. communicative with the inner and the outer, uninhibited by the spectacle of talking to oneself and responding as well. The natural exchange is a trusting celebration of the original design that is finally revealing itself to the ever-increasing consciousness of the world at large. Oh, man, what's going on here? Well, let me tell you. Oh, really? Yeah. I don't know, maybe it's because I live alone, but I'm conversing all the time. We're talking to ourselves. I talk to my little kid. I talk to the cosmos. I reach out to the guys. I talk to the trees, and they don't listen. They do listen to me. All of that is going on simultaneously. What a more fun life. One is consciously aware of how life serves the oscillating vibration of your own I Am Self. There are no accidents, as all is there to serve the greater good and assist in maintaining the cooperative vibrational dance of connecting. One is willing to engage, expand, and explore the deeper dimensions of the sensory selves, calling upon each sense to reveal its more expansive gifts. Invitation begets trust, which is rewarded with awesome experience. For the most part, in relation to this, we have been dumbed down by choice. Too often, we have given up on the richness and the juiciness of life in the name of survival, or in the name of the coat and the cloak of fear that we have been taught to wear. And the unprocessed energies of the woundings and the tender spots of our little child causes us to shut down. And reawakening is scary at times because it's revelatory. It's like psychedelics. It's like you being just thrust into a more expansive awareness that can be completely overwhelming in some ways. Then be gentle with it. Then just ride that little sort of gradual spiraling forward as you apply the nuances or the little bits and pieces of these awarenesses to the moments, and then see what happens and make the adjustments and the integrations that are necessary. One is willing to engage, expand, and explore the deeper dimensions of the sensory selves. Did I just say that? I think I did. One is consciously aware of the heart's housing of the soul so that the multidimensional doorways can be thrown open to let one fly with the wings of no limitation. If indeed that entry point at the heart is also where the soul enters and the access point for doing the, let's go, we're going on a trip. Here we go, let's ride it together and then see what's there. That's freedom. And it doesn't matter what's going on around the outside, because we each have the capacity to create the adventure on the inside through interpretation, then through intention. And if it gets too crazy, we just close our eyes and it's all gone. One is knowing of the design of all life so much that the recognition of all beings as heart-centered eradicates defensive thought and action to immerse one into the thriving mass of oneness. See, we're not just talking about ourselves. We're talking about every living organism that is functioning from the same frequency and source energy. When we move beyond this sort of circling of our own wagons and realize that it's totally unnecessary anymore, then we begin to witness and see this same design in others, and we look for that as opposed to the flaw or as opposed to the thing that will self-elevate us and make us feel like we are way more important. Those things just aren't a part of living in and from the heart. One is willing to engage the various etheric kingdoms of life, communicating with and interacting with them to ease the moments of living and let inspiration and assistance wash through our being. One is creative and spontaneous in playing with the moments of living, knowing that adventure is the welcome outcome of moving forward and stepping into the flow that is calling. Woohoo! Saw Star Wars last night. What an adventure. What a beautiful adventure. It's so filled with metaphorical representations of the very things that I'm talking about tonight. Find them and let those be the vehicle that triggers the reawakening, and let these support one another here. One is comfortable with the existence of and the flowing relationship with emotions, letting them rise and fall with their unique frequency signature to juicy up the now. One connects with the continuity of lifetimes and the interconnectedness of the dimensions and experiences beyond the fences of time and space. Isn't this exciting? One knows that one can call upon the past, present, and future to seed the learnings and activity of the now moment. Science fiction, yes. Possible, yes. Happening, yes. One is a conscious practitioner of the divine dance of giving and receiving, letting the infinite substance make manifest the heart's desires that we deserve and call for. In this practice, one has no fear of lack or not enough. And from the heart space, one is strong in their knowing of the I am expressing as me, leaving behind easily the antiquated and false beliefs, patterns, and actions that show up as lack of value, self-esteem, and self-love. One is aligned with the expansive and foundational frequencies of the greater vibration of the big love, and easily flows and interacts in the knowing, thus making the moments of living ease through the various forms that are called forth. And one is not impacted by the lower frequency energies labeled negative. Rather, they live in the higher vibration that is served by positive only. No attachment or compromises are even considered, let alone embraced. One is tuned with being in the fully aware childlike state where wonder abounds and seeds the invitations to the cosmos for a continuing dance of delight. And finally, one is comfortable, trusting, flowing, peaceful, and connected. Are there bumps in the road? You betcha. We're in the dimension of polarities. We're in the dimension of that dance that oscillates off the pendulum, that moves from the center line so that we can have the richness of the experience of all sides. But we always come back to center like any good pendulum does. We come back to the place of our knowing. It is the touchstone from which we can send out our feelers. It's like back in the years of teaching and starting and being at the time when open classrooms were happening, and to see how the kids would just fall apart when the classroom was just this sort of mass, huge plethora of stuff that they could do anything you want. And they'd run in and start to do this and that, and then pretty soon they'd start to go, I can't take it, and this is too much to do here. So it wasn't long before we realized that in the midst of all of that freedom, a structure needed to be established so they would have their touchstone, so they'd be able to walk back and go, whew, wow, here I am. Okay, what do I want to do? Oh, yeah, look at that. There I go. It's the same for us. As we enter into these new frequencies, we need our touchstones. And quite honestly, the heart is the perfect place for it, and being housed in the body is the ideal. Okay, let's move on. We've got 5 more minutes here. So the last thing in terms of tonight's thing is about living in the heart space. The other things I've included as far as the activities, as well as the mantras, chants, etc., we're going to deal with next week, because we'll do the visualizations, we'll do the journeys, we'll do the singing, the chanting, the mantras, and we'll oscillate back and forth between all of those, because it is a dance. And working in the heart and being in the heart has to include the voice. So here we go. We probably won't be able to get through this whole, and we may pick it up next time. It is becoming very clear that we have not been living the life of the frequency that we are by design. The loving impulse of the cosmic interventions is changing that in an increasingly dynamic way. Just notice how your life is over the last several years. Notice the speed and thoroughness of the changes that are occurring. Notice how the world looks, feels, and is different. Notice how your thoughts and your focus are in these new times. And know that by noticing any of the above, you will initiate even more pronounced energetic clearing, shifting, and realignment to bless you and your moments of living. Choosing to live your life in the heart space is a conscious celebration of your willingness to be true to your whole self in an authentic way. Living beyond the traditional normal and the bought into limitations is not an option worth considering anymore, no matter how familiar and comfortable it feels. These are not the times of restriction. They are the evolving times of expansion. And here are some cues and some directions in which you can choose to live the active, open heart way. Be in consistent gratitude, choosing to witness the beauty of the flow, the manifestation of aligned moments, the natural world, yourself, others, and spirit. Allow yourself to flow with life rather than resist the forms that are magnetized your way. As your higher self is orchestrating the forms and the players to present you with the greatest opportunity to remember who you are and prove it to yourself, you might as well accept that what is here is relevant and filled with potential. Another is to choose to connect with all forms of life, seeking the interrelationships that sustain the whole. A foundational way to do this is to deepen your observation, acknowledgement, and experience in nature. See how much is there to support you. Enjoy it and build the inner knowing that raises your vibration into a place where you can start applying this knowing to your human relationships. Go to nature first and build the foundation, and then go into that tornado-like frontier of human relationships where you can practice these things you learned on. Another is to choose to be energetically clear as you can. Doing so removes the further storehousing of the unexpressed moments of living. In the meantime, make daily effort to release and clear old energies through focused inner work with sound, movement, vibrational therapies, or in sessions with a facilitator. If you've been traumatized, then seriously consider working with a somatic therapist to release the visceral debris. Another is to befriend emotion and learn to recognize the unique flow of each. Knowing their symptoms allows you to direct the energies into proper and complete experience and release. Doing so will seriously diminish old patterns and the tendency to hesitate in life. Knowing that from the heart space you are in the center of your being, constantly in tune with the nuances of your inner world and able to call upon all of your faculties to facilitate the deepest experience with the current moment. I meant to say know that, not knowing that. Know that. Another is to choose to trust life. The chaos is honestly a man-made fabrication that we have come to accept as the way it is. Underneath the smokescreen is a loving universe that has only your best interests in mind, assisting you mightily in remembering your truth. Another is to choose to live in alignment with the laws of the cosmos. Learn what you are capable of by design, and then live as if from now on. You can also choose to be playful and celebratory, much in the innocent and honest manner of the precious child who is safe and filled with wonder. You can accept that this is a multidimensional playground that is unlimited by traditional time and space fences. Enter your moments knowing that there is so much more than appears at first blush. Expand your senses by invitation and see how they will reveal to you the magic kingdom. I'm going to do one more and we'll pick up with the rest of them next time. Choose to have an aware, connected, and responsive relationship with your physical body as well as all your energy bodies. Doing so will reboot the flow of information and the remarkable interconnections of the design that free you to be the master of your moments. Are you seeing how everything we've done so far, bits and pieces of each of the sessions and the topics are beginning to infiltrate themselves and apply themselves with this primary focus in mind, which is to live in the heart, live from the heart, live as the heart, live in the love frequency. So this session, we have planted awareness. We've given the mind a ton of stuff to do, and it's all filtering down towards the heart right now. As you get access to the information, find something to play with here. Find something to hold on to and begin to see it. Read everything as if your heart is involved, as if the voice itself, as you read out loud perhaps, or as you bring in the information, let it filter in through the heart and let it seed that area, washing away any historical resistance or hesitation. Why not? Why not? Why not? This is a rich and absolutely incredible topic. And I am so served by having had the opportunity to do the research and to begin to align all of these things that I've amassed to come up with some kind of presentation here that made sense first to me and hopefully to you as well. This is a beautiful dance, and it's a very critical point in our juncture of reawakening that we choose to live in the house that was built for us. So I wish you an open-hearted, a very love-filled experience in the bulk of your moments between now and the time that we gather again next Tuesday night, where we will step into finishing up on this one and then singing and guiding visualization our way through the beautiful hour and a half that we have. Thank you so much for participating. And I will include some information tomorrow. I'm hesitating after tomorrow because part of me just said, well, you hope you can, only because I have to just reset this site. I mean, it's ready to go. I just have to probably clear out the old one and then publish this one in a completely new file area and then redirect some things. So I have no idea how to do it, but I'll know by the morning, I'm sure. Because, again, I'm doing everything I can to live in my heart. And then that allows me to tackle anything. So, you are blessed, and I'm blessed by the very fact that you chose to be here, so thank you very much. And I'll stay on the line for a few more moments in case there are any comments, questions, etc. I wish you a delightful and happy new year. And all of that. Thank you so much. Okay. Happy trails.
Hey, Mark. Susan.
Yes. Hi, Susan.
Do you have any time to talk tomorrow? I cannot be available on Thursday.
What time works for you?
After 4 probably would be better because I have a bunch of appointments.
Okay. I'll just make arrangements for that to be so.
Okay, just send me a time.
And send it text-wise, email-wise,
text,
or call the office?
Email. Text or email. It's my day off tomorrow.
Oh. Well, yay. Okay.
I'm waiting for a restful day off. It'll be great.
I bet you are. Okay.
But
yeah, I look
anyway,
forward to talking to
yeah,
you. So,
what time after 4 would work for you? It's fine.
I'm starting to think that probably, 4:15 would be best.
All right. You want to just say 4:15?
Let's pencil. Yeah. We'll ink it in.
Okay.
4:15.
Yeah. If it doesn't work, let me know.
I will.
Okay. Thanks. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Blessings. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night.